Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, April 18th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, WWE Superstars and WWE Raw Spoilers from the O2 Arena in London. .NET staffer Hayden Gleed and a .NET reader named Chris, I'd butcher his last name, so we'll just leave it at Chris, are in attendance providing updates on those shows. In fact, as I'm recording this, the Superstars tapings are underway, so by the time many of you hear this, Raw will already be going. In fact, all of you, by the time you hear this, Raw will be going, and in fact, in some cases, the show may be over. So you can get ahead of tonight's airing on USA Network by checking out those spoilers on the main page. A couple of things from over the weekend to cover before we get into what I will actually be looking for on tonight's Raw. First, Undertaker pulled from all European dates. At one point, he was advertised for a number of shows on the tour. Then he was scaled back, and it eventually settled in at, he was going to appear at SmackDown on Tuesday and then a house show on Wednesday. However, WWE pulled him completely from the tour and ended up adding Shane McMahon to the SmackDown taping and Triple H to the SmackDown taping, and a number of dates also with Triple H doing live events. There are certainly reports that Taker was talking retirement at WrestleMania, but we'll see what happens there. I mean, barring something medical or just some type of major falling out between Vince McMahon and Taker, it is hard to imagine WWE not cashing in on Taker's final match somehow. I mean, I've talked for years about just billing it as the last ride. I mean, it just seems so obvious, and there's a lot of money to be made with that. I mean, I'd even go so far as to do a full tour if Taker was up for it. At this point, he's probably not. But certainly that last ride match, I think, is a big one for WWE. And I just don't know what's going on, why he was talking the way he reportedly was at WrestleMania, and why things have developed the way they have in the UK. So it's obviously something to continue to watch. The other big news of the weekend was that, well, WWE still enforces its wellness policy. Who knew? I mean, honestly, they did have that suspension of Hornswoggle, I guess. But and we haven't seen him since. But it's not like we've seen many suspensions over the last couple of years, or at least ones that they reported publicly. In this case, they suspended Connor of the Ascension and Adam Rose, 60 days each. It's the second suspension for both men, which is why it carried the 60-day count instead of the 30-day, which is the number of days they suspend people for first-time violations. Both men apparently failing wellness testing while working in developmental. And for whatever reason, WWE never went public with those suspensions at the time. And I don't know how prevalent the unreported suspensions of developmental wrestlers actually is, but I guess it's something we at least need to keep in mind when it comes to the possibility of wrestlers debuting on the main roster with a strike or, hell, even two already against them with the wellness policy, as crazy as that seems. I don't know why they didn't make that public knowledge, especially, I mean, I know some people are like, well, they don't want to acknowledge any type of thing like this. You know, it works to their advantage, too, when you have a testing policy and you're actually, you know, reminding people that we test, these things happen, and we address it. So I guess I see both sides of it. A very interesting time in TNA, of course, and I'm not just talking about the television tapings that'll be starting on Thursday in Orlando, but I will tell you that we are looking for correspondents, as always. We swing and miss in Orlando so many times, I don't know what it is, but if you were going to the tapings at Universal, we would appreciate if you could send us some spoilers on those. It could be as basic as the match results. You can send them to me via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. But in addition to the tapings, just all sorts of rumors right now about a potential sale. TNA previously confirming that they're looking for outside investors. I mean, the thing with that is, as I've been saying, I just don't know if anyone out there would be interested in just handing over money to TNA as an investment and letting Dixie Carter run the company. I mean, I get why she would want that. I'm just not sure what about her history and the company's history would make an investor feel comfortable just saying, here's my money, and then expect to get some type of return on that investment. Now, that said, there are parties who have shown interest in buying the company outright, is my understanding, and I spoke about one of them in Thursday's .NET Weekly audio show for the members. I'm also hearing more interesting names today, including a real estate developer. I'm going to do more work on that one, and there's another potential buyer or a rumored potential buyer. I don't want to start putting names out there until I get more details, but certainly some interesting stuff coming out here. And you know, I mean, the company losing or giving up its longtime office space, just depending on who is telling that story, it seems very telling to me. I mean, but I guess the question is whether, is it a sign of all-out financial woes for the company that they're losing that office space, or is it because they're setting this up for a sale? I mean, after all, if somebody's going to buy TNA and doesn't intend to have its offices based in Nashville, then they don't need to keep that office space. So, I mean, obviously, major story. We'll continue to keep close tabs on this whole situation, and we'll be updating as things unfold. Again, as I mentioned, I'm recording this shortly before the Raw show begins, and so just a few things of what I'm looking for. Last week, I had all sorts of things. I had to like limit myself to five, and this week, I mean, I could really reach, but there were kind of three things, and we already know one of them. Before I wrote this list out earlier today, and, well, the first one was who's in charge? We know. It's Shane McMahon. WWE announced that today that Shane is in control for the third straight week. We also know that the stipulation for his match with Undertaker was completely pointless at this time. It certainly appears that way. I mean, as I said, though, I don't care. I want WWE to deliver better storytelling and just, you know, hold themselves up to higher standards. And they did a really good job last Monday. But when it comes to the Shane thing, I'll just take him being in this position. I wanted him to win that match, you know, just because I wanted some change. And I really like the babyface or neutral authority figure, whatever you want to call it. I like what it brings to the show after years of suffering through heel authority figures. And hey, it was great at one time. I mean, Mr. McMahon was had a tremendous run, and it just kind of feels like they just have gotten stuck in this rut. So if we can get away from that for a while, I'm cool with it. I guess the question now becomes whether this is made permanent, or if they're just going to kind of continue to make this up as they go along, where Raw ends, we have no idea if Shane will be back the next week or not. Keep in mind, last week, Kevin Owens was talking about how the rumor was that that was Shane's last show. Well, he's in London, and they have announced him for this show. As far as him being advertised for SmackDown, by the way, I mean, it's certainly possible he appears on the show, but could also be a dark segment. We'll see what happens with that. Second thing from Raw that I'm looking forward to, I want to see how they play the whole Dudleys against Enzo Amore and Big Cass tournament match, because you know, it could be as simple as Enzo and Cass win the whole tournament and then go on to face the seemingly fellow babyface New Day act. I mean, I think that's been a fun one that people have looked forward to for some time, but it was always with New Day as heels, and now that they're basically babyfaces, it's not that it can't be fun, it's just, I don't know how that one's going to work, and so I don't know if that's a tell as to how this tournament's going to play out. I mean, I think we see that feud someday, but I also think it's possible we see the Dudleys do something, you know, heelish to win this match, or even lose it, and then cost Enzo and Cass in the finals, for that matter. I mean, if they don't want the Dudleys to win the tournament, they have the Vaudevillains in mind, for instance, well, they could easily have Enzo and Cass lose this match and then cost the Dudleys next week somehow, which, I mean, I guess it's going to be tough to get the Vaudevillains against the Dudleys. So I kind of look at that scenario, and I'm not making any bold predictions here, just kind of playing this out in my mind. I'm kind of thinking that somehow Enzo and Cass win and face the Vaudevillains, and then maybe the Dudleys cost them. But I don't know. I don't have strong feelings about this tournament. It's like for number one contendership, and well, most of the teams get a title shot anyway, but hopefully it'll make for good television. And the thing I'm most looking forward to seeing is the second week of Anderson and Gallows, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Now, this could be very interesting. The reason I didn't have it like the first thing on my list is that, while it could be interesting, I think it's also very possible that it's more of the same. You know, and in fact, I'm guessing that's the case. It's just Anderson and Gallows enter through the crowd, attack someone or another, a tag team, maybe the Usos again, who knows, and then leave again without any real questions being answered just yet. That seems to be the way WWE plays it. I don't know if they're going to race into this, but so, I mean, really the question is, for me, is who they're aligned with. And I know a lot of fan speculation, I've certainly put it out there too, has said AJ Styles could be their leader. You know, he's the guy challenging Roman Reigns. It stems from Byron Saxton asking why the Usos and why now when Anderson and Gallows attacked last week. there's obviously history with AJ and Anderson and Gallows going back to their Bullet Club days. And you know, I mean, the Usos thing could be a swerve too, in that it could be Finn Balor leading his, because he also, I mean, before AJ was the leader of Bullet Club, Finn Balor was, as Prince Devitt. And so he could end up being the guy, and then they take out AJ and actually prevent him from winning the title if they want to play it that way, or they attack both Reigns and AJ Styles, something along those lines. You know, perhaps so. I mentioned this in .NET Weekly on Thursday. Maybe the most plausible theory I've heard, and it's not one that I want to see play out, but I could see it happening. It seems like it's one to keep an eye on. Former WWE creative team member, in fact, was the one who told me that he suspects Triple H is behind all this, his character. Not that he's like the in-ring leader, but that his character is the one pulling the strings, and this is about getting revenge on Roman Reigns for taking the championship. And then obviously you have Shane McMahon in charge, and so if they want to try to sabotage Shane's leadership, and you know, there's a number of different ways that they could go about it, and I'm adding to what was basically said. But yeah, the idea that Triple H would be the one behind it, the show is called Payback after all, and it kind of may solve the problem of, well, who's the mouthpiece? You know, who cuts the promos? But I think there's a number of different ways they could go about this. I mean, I'm guessing Seth Rollins returns as a babyface, but if he doesn't, this could be his group. Somebody in .NET Q&A that'll be recorded later today brought up Randy Orton even. I mean, there's a number of different ways they could go about this, but I do think the Triple H one is one that I hadn't really given much thought to. And once the person explained it to me, I'm like, you know, I could see that happening. Not the one I want to see happen, but I could see that happening. But we will find out together, well, this afternoon, if you are reading the spoilers, as we have those live updates from Raw and SmackDown also tomorrow, as they are both taped in London. But you can also join me for live coverage of Raw tonight. I will not be doing the pre-show notes just because we're going to know everything that's on the show anyway. But I do want to stress that when it comes to Raw tonight, I'm not going to be giving you any spoilers in my Raw coverage. I'm basically going to treat this as if I'm, you know, don't know anything. And, well, that's easy. I that's pretty much par for the course. But anything as far as Raw is concerned, that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to worry, like, if you avoid the spoilers and you want to follow along with live coverage, but you're like, is he going to be spoiling everything before it happens? No, I won't. And I'll just do my best to react to it as natural as usual. I mean, I guess in the POV part, once it's already aired, then I may just kind of acknowledge what my thoughts were and how it compared to just reading what Hayden had to say about it, and then what I actually thought about it, that sort of thing. But I'm not going to tell you like results or anything like that ahead of time in my actual Raw review tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. Also want to point out that I will most likely be by with an all-access audio review of Raw tomorrow morning rather than late tonight. My beloved, yet very underwhelming, Minnesota Wild are in the playoffs, and they have their first home game tonight. And so I may just, there's a chance I'll just decide to bang out the Raw audio review afterward. I'm not quite sure yet. Just going to kind of see how the night goes. But, I mean, if it's like a major Raw, then obviously it has to happen. But if it's just kind of, storyline-wise, it can wait till morning, you know what I'm saying? Then I may just give myself a little more sleep by turning off Raw once it's over and then immediately going to watching my Wild on the DVR. But either way, by Tuesday afternoon, you guys will definitely have a full review of WWE Raw. Finally, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It is always appreciated when you help spread the word about the podcast. And hey, give us a quick retweet when I run the link on the Twitter feed at Pro Wrestling Net. As always, a big thanks to everyone who has already shown their support in any of those manners. It is very much appreciated. I will be by tomorrow with my WWE full length, by the way, normally a member exclusive Raw audio review. I want to give you guys a taste of what we do on Monday nights. So even if it's Tuesday, know that it normally is on Monday nights, coming right out of the show. But hey, it's NHL playoffs. I don't think I'm going to have much time to watch because I don't think my Wild are going anywhere. So let me enjoy this night, damn it. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, take care.